Looking for a vehicle that's environmentally friendly and fun? Look no further than the Ford Mustang Mach-E, available now at Jim K. Ford. This electric car will have you laughing all the way to the bank with savings on gas and maintenance costs without giving up excitement and performance. And with zero emissions, you can finally breathe easy, literally. So if you want a car that's as exhilarating as it is eco-friendly, come down to Jim K. Ford today and take a spin in one of our Mach-E's today. Visit us online at jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the SWP. We've got lots to get to today. Bit of technical difficulties, won't lie out of the gate. Here where I am in Ottawa, Canada. It's basically Armageddon weather-wise. Every, 5 hours or so, we had, streets were flooding on Thursday, and today we've got more rain going on, knocking off internet. James, you're in Edmonton, and how are things going there?
I'm back home. Steve, I think it would be important for you to point out that I technically solved the issue today.
Okay. A little guidance. Okay.
I know you apprehensively said, okay, I'm going to need you to click on a couple of things, Jimmy. Do you think you can handle that? Is it a link?
Yeah. Okay. You did it. Now,
the bottom line.
Yeah. So it should be an interesting show because technically the internet's a little glitchy today, but we've got lots to get to. We got Quebec Major Junior Hockey League banning fighting. Jose Bautista signs a one-day deal with the Blue Jays and retires as a member of the Jays. And your Phil Mickelson is every bit the gambling fool we thought and more.
Right.
Up today on the show. What's new with you, James? What's going on?
Did I tell you about the guy who got run over by the cart? I forgot when we did our show.
You did tell me that. Yeah, okay. You did. Yeah.
And then since that time, I texted you and you gave me the what? Yeah. My buddy Jake, who you know.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of big stories, okay. So I grew up playing all my golf with Jake. I named my son after him. He was up in Sudbury with me. We're the only two old guys that go back now to that tournament. We've lost our regular group, Stevie. Everyone's getting old and having heart attacks and shit like that. Small stuff.
Sure.
So Jake was there. Didn't play great. Okay. He's played as long as I have, 50 years probably. You know, I'm going to be 62 this year. Mm-hmm. And a troubled golfer. Okay. A lot of times.
How so?
Just, you know, mentally it gets the better of him. You know, like it does all of us. I'm not singling out Jake here.
Not a club chucker, though.
No, not anymore. No, not anymore. Okay. Small, about a 4 second pout, you know, after a bad shot.
Oh, that sounds like me.
That's the window, though. That's the window. The window I give guys, Steve, is the sort of 4 to 10 second pout.
Okay.
Okay. And then after that, all right, you've become a distraction.
Right.
All right. Let's get that smile, but, you know, like you're, my dad always said, you're nowhere good enough to be pouting. Okay. Right. Nowhere near.
Yeah.
Good enough to get mad or pout.
Anyway, good advice for anybody.
Yeah, good advice. We had a lot of fun. You know, we went up there and everyone shot 1,000, but we had a lot of laughs. My brother was there. And so Jake goes back home and I was bragging about having a couple of hole-in-ones. I've had 2. And as we all know, the rarity of it. So Jake called me into his cups, Stevie. Mm-hmm. Okay. Into his cups. Jungly. He calls me Jungly. Jungly. I got a hole in one today on number 8 at Kanata Lakes, right? And I'm like, unbelievable. That's a big day, right? I mean, that's cool, right?
Sure, like, I've never done it.
Yeah, I've never had one. So I got one on number 8. And then I got one on number 16.
That's unbelievable.
It's crazy. Two hole in ones in the same round by the same guy.
Now, what's your, like, you, are you 100% convinced that he's not pulling your chain? Because I've never heard that.
Oh, yeah, no, 100%. He was in a it was his Wednesday group or Friday group, whatever he plays in. I think Wednesday. What days did he say? Yeah, it was Wednesday. Is, you know, men's league, foursome. Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%.
That's a real course. That's a good course. Like, there's no there's no lay down holes or anything.
And he said he hit good shots. He said, okay, they didn't bounce in. I didn't skinny it, you know, and it rolled into the cup or anything. Because one of mine was like that, for sure. For sure, hit it thin, and we said that's what he was most proud of, that they were good shots. So we don't hit it on the face very often, Steve, anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, we're just not good enough. Anyway, It's a 1 in 67 million shot of getting two holes in one.
Has it ever happened on the PGA Tour?
You know, well, I'll tell you what. Okay, I'm going, oh my God, that's kind of like world news, you know, in the golf world.
Yeah.
Right? I said, you are never going to not talk to anyone for many, many years and go, okay, by the way, here, before you, before you give me my money back here at the bank, I need to tell you something. Okay, I got two holes in one. You know, if you're going through a check stop, Stevie, now it's like, okay, listen, officer, two holes in one, same round. You're going to go with that forever, Stevie, forever.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if that's not enough, okay, to make, and I'm going, who the hell ever does that? You know, how rare is it? Well, that's how rare it is, 1 every 67 million times. Jake goes, oh, you know, there was another guy at Kanata Lakes who did it 8 years ago. I'm going,
what?
What the fuck? What?
Does the fairway and green funnel into the hole in a couple of holes? Made in 16 or something? Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. So anyway, that was you don't even know what to say. It's like, that's really well done.
Yeah.
You know,
it's happened three times in the history of the PGA Tour. And these are guys, wow. I'm going to let you know a little secret. Those guys are really good. Probably a lot better than Jake.
Talent.
Yeah. So it's three times. Bill Weldon had two holes in one at the 1955 Insurance City Open.
Yep.
And that was at the Weathersfield Country Club. Yasaku Miyazato did it in 2006.
Yeah, Miyazato.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah. Reno Tahoe Open. And most recently, the guy who just won your most recent major, Brian Harman, hit two aces at the 2015 The Barclays.
Oh, my God. So it's not... I got to be honest, it's not as rare as I thought. I just thought you'd go, yeah, no one's ever done it.
No, three. No one's ever done that's it. Pretty rare still.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway. Three guys. Yeah, absolutely. Rarefied air, as they say. So,
no, anyway,
hats off to my buddy Jake. Well done.
What do you think of Phil Mickelson and the allegations in this new book about his gambling habits? In fact, it's Pete Rose stuff, or at least an attempt to do Pete Rose stuff. So. It's this gambling book, and the guy's name who wrote it is named Billy Walters, famous gambler, was tried for insider trading. So we may want to consider the source a little bit, right, with that kind of background. But he wrote a book, and in the book, apparently, among the $100 million that Phil Mickelson lost in gambling, his former associate here, Billy Walters, says he actually tried... And Billy Walters stopped him. He tried to bet on an event that he was competing in.
Uh-oh.
I believe it was the Ryder Cup in the... No, let me get the exact date here. Little montage music.
Two holes in one.
Here it is.
All right.
Late September 2012, Phil called him from the Medina Country Club just outside Chicago, site of the 39th Ryder Cup between the U.S. and Europe. He was feeling supremely confident that the U.S. squad led by Tiger, Bubba Watson, and Phil himself was about to reclaim the cup from the Euros. He was so confident that he asked old Billy Walters to place a $400,000 wager for him on the U.S. team to win. And Billy Walters' reaction was this. Have you lost your effing mind? Right. Don't you remember what happened to Pete Rose? All that, you'd risk that? And he goes, all right. And then, according to Billy Walters, he has no idea if Phil tried to place the bet elsewhere. But this guy's got, like, this is an addiction, the way this is laid out, if it's all accurate from Billy Walters.
Yeah. There's no doubt in my mind, Stevie, no doubt in my mind that he's bet $100 million, for sure. Over his life, I've heard stories. I might have been in Vegas when he was there one time, but I've heard from reliable sources that it's nothing for him to do the 10, 20 million thing. That he was into the millions at a casino. Wins and losses, I don't know, but he is a gambler. There's no doubt. Loves
the allegation. Just to reset the allegation, it's $100 million in losses, not just bets.
Yeah, easy. I would believe that. So, here's the problem. So you might say on the surface, you go, well, that's okay. You know, a guy's betting 400 grand on his own team. Mm-hmm. The obvious, you know, criminal action would be betting on Europe when you play for the U.S.
That would be bad.
See, That would be bad. So you can't do that. So, you know, a lot of people might be going, well, what the hell, you know, what the hell? Here's the problem with it, Steve. It leaves it open, Stevie, when you bet that much money, okay, an inordinate amount of cash, an offside bet, the one that the betting houses look up and go, okay, what's going on here? Wait a minute. The fear, Stevie, is do you get in someone's ear and say, if you guys lose, I'll give you half this dough.
Right.
If you go to one player on the other team and nudge, nudge, wink, wink, going, you know, I've laid down $500,000 almost. So that's the, you know, would it happen? You know, Phil would say, no, it wouldn't. I don't think he did. But that's the issue. So what do you do about that? You put the absolute law down that you cannot bet on sports.
For sure.
Bet on sports. You know,
you there's that thought of, okay, so you're only gambling on yourself to win. So what's the harm in that? You'd think that would motivate you, but it just, for the reasons you just pointed out, and Pete Rose had the same kinds of allegations, you know, what's the problem with betting on the Reds? It's my team. Well, if you're going along and betting like 5 days in a row on the Reds, and then on the sixth day, you don't bet on the Reds. Now you're sending a pretty loud message to the gambling community. And so that's another reason why the betting on yourself isn't necessarily kosher either. So it's I wonder if that was part of his decision making to accept the live money. Would he have done it anyway? Maybe. I don't know. But maybe he was in a place where he absolutely needed that massive influx of cash that the Saudis put in his pocket.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. You know, I don't know. I know
me
that
neither.
I know that Phil is worth a lot of money. He's been out there a long time. You know, it's like, I was looking at a stat yesterday. I'm watching the, by the way, it's the first tournament of the FedEx, right? The 70 right. guys, four Canadians, Steve, they take 50. It's a bit of a different format. 50 guys out of the 70 move on to next week. And, and five of the Canadians, Steve, were within about an hour ago. We're within that top 50. You know, so Phil's worth a ton of cash. All right. Mm-hmm. He's worth a lot of money. Did he take the live money for money? My answer would be yes. Yeah. I haven't taken the live money for money.
Yeah. That's why he took it
for money. Yeah. For money, not for the good of golf, Stevie, is what they've been saying, right? Not for the goodness of the game. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason everyone did it. You know, that's the reason everyone did it.
Like your joke that David Faraday told, right? I mean, this just in. You know, there's nothing wrong with taking money. We all do it. We all need it to survive here in our society and civilization as we've set it up here. We kind of need it. So there's no shame in that. But, you know, there's certainly a possibility that he overlooked some of the things that the Saudis are being accused of and some of the things we know they've done and human rights records and things. It's possible that he decided to, you know, because of his financial situation, he said, I can't really worry about that. I got to go to the money.
Yeah. So, you know, I wonder when the story breaks. I guess, did this book just come out? Is that why this story just surfaced?
Yeah. Past week it came out.
Oh, okay. All right. Because one of the thoughts of that was probably the PGA stirring a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
Right. Because the PGA hates Phil now, you know. But the really, you know, it's a huge sport. The money is increasing daily. It'll be totally interesting to see how all this plays out with Liv and where the cash is going to come in. What are tournaments going to be worth? Is it going to be guaranteed money? You know, Palmer and all those guys, I've said this a million times, right? You can't give guys guaranteed money because it makes them bigger than the game. Like, who gives a shit?
Right.
You know, you can go, whatever happened to Dustin Johnson, you know, in that Liv event. I didn't see him, you know. The one thing about the Live event, Steve, is it's, I agree with you. I was thinking about what you told me last week. Okay. It's doing nothing for me. Mm-hmm. It's doing nothing for me. I don't walk away and go, oh man, did you see that where, Humphrey Gallardo there, won the tournament, you know? So it really is a turning point for golf that guys are getting guaranteed money.
Right.
Okay. Now you're bigger than, you know, now the game doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean a thing. It doesn't mean a thing. Not only guaranteed 5-10 mil here, right? 100 million. I think Dustin, the number I heard was 125 million. So which is even more reason not to have to gamble on golf. Okay.
Right. Right.
You guys are making platoons of cash. It's only going to go up. Okay. You know, you make fun of the snooker thing, right? But match fixing in snooker is rampant. It's rampant. You know, it's since betting came along, Steve, mm-hmm. right? All these betting houses are taking money, you know, or taking bets on other sports. And that, you know, that revived that game of snooker, right? But every month, Steve, there's someone getting nailed for fixing a match, right. losing on purpose, you know? That one you look at and go, well, okay, I get it. Cause they make, you know, if a guy wins a tournament, he makes $100,000.
Yeah.
He doesn't make $5 million, you know, or shit like that. That does
It's not even necessarily the money though. It's, it is in some cases, obviously, but I would say that it's just the general action that I think Phil Mickelson thrives on. He just likes the action. He likes the excitement, and money just happens to be literally his currency. And, what if we're, you know, if he was a big collector of Smurf figurines and we were now betting Smurf figurines on this 18-hole run, you know, right. that might be good enough for Phil Mickelson. He just likes the action, I think. And we should really, we should frame this entire conversation with, once again, the fact that Billy Walters is a lifetime gambler and he's also been involved in insider trading. And because of that, well, what's another? I mean, insider trading at its heart is scamming. And so I think all the things we just speculated about with Phil Mickelson, we should say, if the allegations are accurate, because there's certainly right. a real possibility that they are not. What do you do to try and promote and sell a book? You get a big splashy headline like the one that Phil Mickelson has to deal with right now. And so it would not shock me at all if maybe it was trumped up a little bit to help sell a book.
Yeah. The other thing too, by the way, that $400,000 he wanted to bet, he would have lost.
Right. They lost. Ryder That's Cup. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the Europe came storming back.
Yeah.
And so anyway, you know, I love the action too. You know, I like it. I like the casino a little bit. I bet in the sports a little bit. I haven't in a couple of years, but you know, but I'm not life changing better.
Right.
It's like fucking crazy, you know, the amount of money. So anyway, I think they're going to have to look at this thing more seriously, and say, look, we've got to really, really tighten up on this thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. You can't bet on anything. Because it would become nebulous, Steve, what you're betting on, right?
Well, yeah.
I bet on whatever. Yeah. Well, you can't anymore. Okay. Because that may lead to a different bet here and there. So anyway.
Buddy of mine lost a bunch of money on the Florida Panthers beating the Boston Bruins, which was quite a shocking first round upset this year in the NHL playoffs. Florida right. got in the final weekend. Boston, meanwhile, set the NHL all-time single season wins record. So that's a bit of a disparity going into the thing. Boston grabbed a 3-1 series lead. Florida came storming back to tie the series at 3. And my buddy was still convinced, though, there's no way Boston can lose to Florida. So he right. put a pile of money on the Bruins, and they end up losing the game. And I've never heard him talk this way before. Granted, he lost a bunch of money on it. But he says, I'm watching the game, and I'm saying to myself, and this is not an accusation, this is just what he was saying. He's like, it looked to me like Florida was intentionally doing stuff, or Boston was intentionally missing passes. And, you know, and this is the,
right.
and none of that's an allegation. That's just what my buddy's saying. But it speaks to the proliferation of gambling advertising, how gambling is now coding everything in pro sports. And now that thought process is seeping into the hockey fan or the sports fan's psyche, whether it's golf and Phil Mickelson, or whether it's that example I just gave with my buddy who lost a bunch of money on game 7. That's dangerous for pro sports, because they're so now in bed with gambling that if we keep rolling along the way we are, I think more of that psyche is going to creep into people's consciousness.
Yeah, it's percolating, right? It's percolating here. Everyone can't, you know, everyone's coming forward going, what the hell? I mean, I'm just, there's a bunch of great golf on right now, right? That FedEx and the women's amateurs on, and I love it, and I'm watching it. Mm-hmm. And there was a break, and it's the first time I've seen it in a golf thing, right? The big ad, FanDuel is the name of a betting company.
Yep.
Jim Nance, who was ever doing it. You can bet shot by shot now. I'm like, what? What? So something's going to burst, right? Something's going to burst. Some league, Steve, the PGA or baseball or the NFL, someone's going to, you know, it's going to wipe someone out someone's going to win a court case, Stevie, where it goes, you know what? I got manipulated here. Okay. I really did. I don't know. That may sound ridiculous, but, you know, sports, Stevie, what's really goofy about all this, right? Anyone in sports, they'll talk about whether they reach the peak of their or the pinnacle of their sport. They'll talk about what it means for kids, you know, that to grow the game, right? Forget all this bullshit about money, but you got to grow the game. You got to, everyone has unbelievable stories about their kids growing up playing hockey or baseball or football or basketball or golf. And it really sort of purifies the thing for me, right? When you see these stories of young kids coming up and living the dream, mm-hmm. you know, all you got to do is if I like anything about draft day, Stevie, is the kid running over and hugging his parents, you know,
yeah,
or vice versa, right? This thing is fucking it all up, man. This thing's gonna be, you know what I mean? See, it just kind of leaves a shitty taste in your mouth.
Well, it could change things because. You know, all through our childhood, we'd watch sports exclusively because we loved the sport or we liked that guy or we liked that team. We're cheering for them. Mm-hmm. Now, more and more guys and women, they're cheering for the action. They're cheering right. for what they've bet on. And if right. that carries on long enough and that supersedes everything else, love of sport, love of team, love of player, whatever it is, all the things that we had as kids, if that love of the gamble, love of the bet you've got on the game, love of the action supersedes all the sports love, then you can find that action anywhere. You don't, if the action is the thing you love best, you can go out and watch your kids play marbles. There's a million year old take, but whatever. You can find that action doing anything. And I think, you know, some sports fans will just not necessarily fall out of love with sports. It'll just be something. One of a million things that they can find action on.
Right. Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. It's, you know, I love that game because I won 100, you know?
Right.
What's that doing for the youth? I don't know. I don't know, but I've got this feeling of foreboding, you know?
Right.
On this deal. So
I agree.
And some of the other things, Stevie, is the athletes endorsing it. You know,
right,
it's like
right.
if I'm Phil Mickelson, okay, I'm walking forward today going, wait a freaking minute here, okay?
Right.
Here's MGM, okay? Here's MGM. I've seen an ad with Connor McDavid. I've seen one with Wayne. You know, I've seen them with other pro athletes talking about, why don't you lay a bet? Why don't you lay a bet? And now you're going to go hard on Phil for betting?
Right.
And right. he's going, fuck, these guys are getting $5-10 million endorsement fee. For a betting company. So you might have to dial it back with Phil saying I should be able to bet, you know?
All right. Speaking of the good of the youth and all that, the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League has decided to ban fighting. And mm-hmm. it'll be interesting to see what the ripple effect from that is. It'll probably be used as a trial balloon for other leagues, including maybe one day the NHL. And we'll talk about that coming up after these words.
Introducing the future of driving with Ford electric vehicles now available at Jim K. Ford. Say goodbye to gas stations and hello to efficiency with electric power that delivers a smooth and silent ride. With advanced technology and smart features, you'll experience a whole new level of convenience and connectivity. And with Ford's commitment to sustainability, you'll also be doing your part for the planet. So come on down to Jim K. Ford today and test drive the future with Ford EVs or visit us online at jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
If you're looking to buy or sell your home, the Glenn Walton Real Estate Team can help. Glenn helped me sell a home a couple of years ago and did a ton for us, including staging. He handled getting a great painter, a cleaner, and even bought new ceiling lights for us, all to make sure the home was looking its best on picture day. It's all part of his services, and you know what? He can do the same for you. Contact Glenn today, glennwalton.com. The Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, as mentioned, is banned fighting for the upcoming season. It's probably not the way to put it. It's always been banned. Fighting's never been allowed. They don't let you just carry on with your day.
Right.
You get a 5-minute major. Now the punishment's way worse. So they become the first major junior hockey league in Canada to make the change to kick guys out for fighting. So this is how it goes. As soon as a fight occurs, as of this season, those engaged must be systematically ejected from the game. Any player found to have instigated the fight will receive an automatic one-game suspension. So that tells me that, that suggests to me that even if I'm attacked and just defending myself, then I will still get ejected, which sets up interesting possibilities if some thug wants to jump Connor McDavid or the Quebec Junior version of him. Also, the person declared to be the aggressor during the fight will get a minimum of 2 games for suspension automatically. And in addition to the game misconduct, an automatic game suspension is imposed starting with the player's second fight of the year. Basically, second fight, third fight, fourth fight. With each ensuing fight, the punishment suspensions get worse and worse. Right. So what do you think?
A couple things. You know, one of the thoughts always when you hear that and going, okay, well, they'll just send out a mucker. You know, because someone's, you know, running around with their head cut off, spearing everybody in your team. And then, you know, now you're going, well, if I send a guy out there to fight him and get suspended. So everyone always says, well, then just send out a fourth liner, you know, call a guy up, tell him to go out there and beat the living shit out of the guy. And they go, okay, he gets one gamer, right? But that being said, Steve, it doesn't happen that often. So I'm kind of impressed with hockey that they, you know what I mean? It doesn't happen too often, right?
What doesn't?
Well, that they send, you know, they'll call a guy up, okay, because you're facing this team again. This guy's, you know, nowhere near ready to play in the NHL, but I'm going to bring him up and I'm going to send him out there to kick the shit out of anyone. It doesn't happen as much anymore, right?
Not in the NHL for sure. I don't know about the Quebec, what the frequency is like in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. But yeah, there's sort of this honor among enforcers thing. If you're a fighter, you can't go after the Connor McDavids of the world. It's just verboten.
Right, and they do that, right? They do that. So, I'll ask you this, Steve. Can you recall a fight that you watched this year in the NHL? I don't mean a memory of a general memory that there's fights, but can you recall a specific fight?
There was a few here and there. Yeah, none of them were. Most of them were just hug fest for the most part. There were a couple of dandies for sure, but they're all Ottawa Senators, the team that I cover. Not really outside any other non-Senator game. I can't recall a single one.
Right. So that's kind of to my point is if there were no fights this year in the NHL, Steve, no one's coming back going, oh my God, you know, you got to bring it back because it'll change the outcome of every game. It would reverse the yada, yada, yada. Right. Like if there was no fighting in the NHL, if nobody fought in the NHL, I wouldn't come away going, what a dull season. You know, that's no good. I'm not watching that sport anymore. So I think it's bound to happen, to answer your question. I think it's bound to happen.
I think for 16 to 20-year-old young men, I think it's probably for the best. And you think about that range and how much growing is still going on between 16 and 20. That can be dangerous sometimes when 16 and 17-year-olds get an overager pounding them in the face. Like there can be a 50-60 pound difference, 3-4 inches in height. So it is going to be interesting if it does ever end up in the NHL. Because to me, when there's a few fights, it adds some fire and some excitement level. And I think that not necessarily without the actual fight, but without the threat of a fight and the animosity factor going on, I wonder if it will kind of neuter the interest level, like make things a little on the bland side, even if you're not necessarily conscious of it. You might go, hey, to see what else is on right now. Click. I wonder if that will play because the best games always have some level of, if not animosity, then outright hate.
Yeah, a bunch of physical stuff, right? You know, like university hockey, you go watch university hockey, there's no fighting, but fuck, do they ever hit hard, man? I went to a couple games, you know, they're just like, they're going after each other. Yeah. So I'm okay with it. I'm okay with the no fighting. I think it's bound to happen. And the one reason I do, Steve, think it's bound to happen is if you're the commissioner of a league, you know, or the board of governors of the NHL or, you know, minor league teams or junior A teams, that everyone, Steve, came on several years ago now, 6, 7, 8 years ago now, talking about we've got to do something about concussions, right? We got to fix this. You know, we got to stop. Guys are, you know, they're in its worst, Stevie. There's guys who are done, you know, who've got chronic pain and headaches, and some guys have taken their life over it. There's many stories, not good stories of guys who have concussion syndrome, you know? So if they look at that, Stevie, you know, and you've always said that too, this becomes very, you know, ironic, okay, that you're going to do something like this, but it's okay to fight because it right. needs to be part of the game, you know, and all that. But by the way, if you get a concussion, okay, I'm sorry, but we can't allow you to play.
Right.
Well, that doesn't make sense, man. That math doesn't add up to me. So I think that's probably why they're starting to look at it, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I would argue the hitting that exists in the game as it is right now probably causes more concussions than actual fights. You know, you're smashing your fist into some guy's face, and there aren't many concussions that happen compared to these big, massive open ice hits with these guys who are so big and so fast. Those will more often result in concussions, in my opinion. I don't know what the studies say, but it certainly seems common sense. And you just saw, we spoke about it on the last episode. They're thinking, this new Ottawa U study, they're thinking of raising the minor hockey body checking age up from 13 to 15, which has led to all kinds of controversy about that. So I'd be interested to see what happens now, because even if it gets to the NHL one day, how do you play it? And even in the Quebec League now, as of this fall, it's now common when, let's say, you and I are teammates, you take a big, big, nasty hit, even a clean one, it's automatic that I got to come over and fight the guy that just hit you. Mm-hmm. Well, now what? Mm-hmm. Do we just ignore that? Just say, oh, well, what are you going to do? So that'll be a change for sure.
The other silly thing is, Steve, is I think they have the allowing body checking backwards. You know, like, okay, you can't body check until you're 15 years old. I go, well, you know, 8-year-olds body checking each other ain't going to cause anyone any harm.
Right.
9-year-olds, 10, 11-year-olds, 12-year-olds, you know, body check till your ass falls off. You know, it's not going to. So now what we're going to do is go, okay, well, we're not going to allow them to body check when they're 10. Oh boy, that's really going to change that game. But as soon as they get big and strong and hit puberty and start to develop, now we're going to allow body checking.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, what?
Yeah.
You know, what?
That sounds sensible to me, but at the same time, like Ottawa U, they do this study in conjunction with Hockey Canada, with some of the experts. They do the follow-up research, who's hospitalized and, you know, what are they diagnosed with and what happened. And so I think from the perspective of, okay, if you're on the NHL track, AAA, all that stuff, yeah, for a small segment there, it could be bad. But I think they're looking at the gigantic big picture of every kid who plays competitive hockey and tries to look at things that way and says, what helps the greatest number of people? It's like car insurance. Not every 16-year-old boy is a bad driver, but a lot of them are. So they get, you know, ridiculous premiums. So they have to look at things in a big picture way. There is no catch-all. There is no one-size-fits-all. I think they're just looking at this is the best of all evils, I guess.
Yeah. It's interesting, you know, because two things. If you know, you can't take body checking out of the game, right? It's such a huge part of the game, checking a guy, right? Yeah, I mean, it's if you did that, then you end up, you know, naysayers, Stevie, who are not fans of the 3-on-3, that's one of their issues. Right. That's one of their issues going, well, it's just guys out here playing fucking shinny, you know?
Right. Right.
Right. You can move the puck, dump it back over the line, come back in. No one's checking each other. They're all frightened. You know,
the All-Star game's been that way forever.
Yeah. So I will say this, Stevie, you know, back in the 80s, when I moved out here, and obviously a lot of my hockey stories are Oilers stories, I'll tell you what, Steve, the city got revved up. I remember games that everyone was talking about going, you know what? Are you going to the big one tonight? Mm-hmm. Right? And I'm going, what big one? Yeah, yeah. Semenk and Probert are in town. Oh. Oh, yeah. Couldn't get a ticket, Stevie. Okay?
Right.
Cannot get a ticket. Okay? John Kordick and Marty McSorley are facing each other tonight, right? Sold out, whammo, done, okay?
Yeah.
Scalpers getting big money. So, you know, to Liam's thing, right? You know, Liam thinks it's a big part of the game, right, and all that stuff. But, so when you look at that, you say, yeah, it you know, we got to make money. You know, we got to have viewers. We got to get people tuning in. So obviously I think they're selling themselves out with the betting thing, but they're getting a lot more people watching games. And back in the day, Stevie, you watched your team play, you know, whenever, what's his name? Just got his jersey retired, right? You go to some of the, Neil, was it Neil? He's got his jersey retired.
Correct.
Right? Back in those days, right? Everyone's like, oh yeah, are you going tonight? Right, tonight to the big one. All right, to the big fucking game. Right.
Yeah.
So, it does sell, Stevie, or it did. It did. They've gotten rid of that with all the, you know, the instigator penalty and all that stuff, and you know, all the players go stage fighting. We don't like it. You know, we don't like stage fighting. Mm-hmm. Well, the fan does. Okay.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, I think the Canadian hockey fan who grew up playing on outdoor rinks where it was all just shinny or on ponds and lakes and all that stuff, you know, they romanticize it regardless. And I think, though, there's a lot of America that loves the violence that accompanies the sport of hockey. And that's mm-hmm. why they're all on board with it. You know, I mean, I've talked to people who say, okay, the fighting's out. Okay. Well, I guess it's, you know, I guess it's going that way. Uh-huh. And so what about body checking then? That's as violent. Oh, if they get rid of that, I'm out.
Right.
What? Right. That doesn't seem to be consistent. They're both just as dangerous as each other. So why is fighting a big issue?
Right. Right.
I know that. And they say, you know, body checking is part of the game. Well, we said fighting was part of the game forever. And now we're saying it's not. At least the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League is.
Mm-hmm.
So who's to say that body checking won't go that way as well someday? And, you know, women's hockey is still plenty physical. There's no question about that. You know, mm-hmm. rubbing out against the boards, and there's lots of battles in front of the net, and inadvertent collisions happen as well. So it's far from non-contact, but they just don't have those collision-based body checking. And, yeah, it wouldn't shock me if that's the way it's going. And, yeah, some interesting times in the sport of hockey.
Should allow it in soccer, Steve. They'll get more people tackling, you know. So here's what happened, Steve, with the old fighting thing. This is great. It's always a good topic, you know. People's appetite for it. Mm-hmm. Okay, what is the fans' appetite for it? Well, someone along the way, Stevie, when everyone used to watch fake wrestling, WWE, mm-hmm. right? And it became very popular. Still is, I think. And then someone goes, how about we do something where it's real? Okay, why don't we make it real, and we'll call it Ultimate Fighting. You know, we'll make it, you know, MMA, Steve, okay? Through the freaking roof, Stevie, okay?
That's, yeah.
It's boxing, I think the numbers are way down. And then someone said, you know what? People just want to see guys kick the shit out of each other. Why don't we try it? Why don't we see what happens there? I don't know. Dana White, good idea, you know? Yeah. So.
Yeah. All kinds of violence. He's got violence. He's got a mansion and probably about $1 billion because of people's love of violence. He's definitely selling that to people, and that probably never goes away to some degree. I don't think you'll ever have a conversation with MMA fans going, should we try and get fighting out of MMA fighting? That won't work. That will not work.
We're gonna take goal scoring out of hockey. We're gonna do it like boxing. It's on a point system. Yeah, all right.
Let us let's close out the show right there. Thank you for being with us here on the SWP. Our website is stevewproject.com. Check that out. You can contact us via the website or via our email address, stevewproject@outlook.com. James, enjoy your day, and we'll talk to you next time.
Good night, everybody.
What?
.com.
We'll see you.
See you later.